Which Sichas Aran Os Lamed Vav. V'Omer. V'Omer. Odi Azman. Shemi Shiyya Ish Kosher Pashut. Yechidish Gadol Kmo Bal Shem Tov. Zichrono Levrach. Okay, Shkach. Everyone's dismissed to say that. Odi Azman. Shemi Shiyya Ish Kosher Pashut. A time will come when a Pashut, a nice kosher Jew, will be as big of a chiddush as the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh Zichrono Levracha. Now, if you remember what we learned last year, Os Yud Dalet, please turn for a second to Os Yud Dalet. We spoke about this line from Rabbi Nachman. Because in Os Yud Dalet, he writes, Ani Mekana Ma'od Ish Kosher, Shekoren Erlecha Yehudi. I'm madly in love and I'm terribly jealous of a Jew who lives up to and is truly worthy of the title Erlecha Yid. An Erlecha Yehudi. Ki nid mishaholech ben adam im dakin v'kar kashos v'eivarim kashar kol olam. He seems to have the same 248 limbs that every other male human being has. V'afal pichin be'emes u'inyan acher lagamri. And yet, his flesh is not their flesh, and his heart is not their heart, and his legs are not their legs, and his eyes are not their eyes. He's a totally different metzias. Ki ish kasher yakar ma'od ashrela. Fortunate is the person who is worthy of being called an Erlech Yid, a Kasher Yid, a Pashut Yid. Rabbi Nachman says I was very jealous of a person who is zochet to that title, who earns that title. Okay, one other piece that we looked at the time, which I also want to chazer over, is Kuf Aleph. Okay, so turn for a moment, please, to see if it's around Kuf Aleph. Kvar Mavur Kama Pamim. I've explained many times. Shein Srichin Shum Chachmus Vavodas Habarius Baruch Rak Tmimus Upshitos Vemuna. I've explained many times to be a good Jew, you don't have to be a genius, because that wouldn't be fair, not everyone's a genius. You don't have to be a person who has tremendous means. If I had more money, maybe I could be a better Jew. No, no such thing. A person needs only the most basic existence, which everyone has. To just be a person of tmimus, pshitas, and to have a muna. V'amar shepshitas hu gavah min hakol. And Rabbi Nachman said that pshitas, people said, oh, to be pashut, to be a pashut yid. Why is Rabbi Nachman so jealous of a pashut yid? Was Rabbi Nachman not a pashut yid? Rabbi Nachman was not such a pashut yid, but he was also a pashut yid. But what he was saying is that to maintain a certain innocence, like we learned earlier in the week, to have a childlike emunah, to be pashut, to be tamim, to look at the world with innocent eyes, is not a small thing. And pshitas, in fact, not only is it not a small thing, it's the greatest thing. It's the biggest thing. Ki Hashem yizbarach baruch hu bevada gvah min hakol, because Hashem, which undoubtedly is the greatest of all, hu yizbarach hu pashut betachlis hapshitas, and Hashem, you're the most pashut thing of all. Your echad is echad betachlis hapshitas, in the most simplistic way. And therefore, Rabbi Nachman says, Halavai, we should become kosher yidden. And it's going to be such a chiddush. To find a kosher, pashut Jew is going to be as big of a chiddush as the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Yes, Rabbi Yitzchak.
Is it not like similar what we were saying yesterday, that the chiddush in the Hikvus of Mashiach to have like a Jew is just a
Jesus? Right, you're forced to, because all of the challenges of the world break down all of our fancy. We feel just totally buttle. You just want to close your eyes and literally hold on. Well, okay, good. So that's it. Halavai, we should be on such a level where we just close our eyes and hold on.
I once heard of one where you say that at the end of times, it's like a chiddush to even like stand up to go wash for Hamosi these days.
Right. So we did that piece last year. Yeah. We did that from Simcha Bum. When we learned Os Yud Dalet, we spoke about the chiddush of a Kadosh Yamarlo. A Jew gets up to eat a bagel and goes to wash before he eats a bagel. There's a big inyan. We also saw a piece, those who've been around for a while, we saw a piece when we were learning Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter's Lekhet Amarim, where he talked about the relationship between Yadayim and Amunah. And Moshe's hands were Amunah, the Torah says. And the relationship between washing, the Tilas Yadayim, and Amunah. Ayin Shav. Yeah.
I need to ask this,
but
what is this pashut?
Oh, so good. That's what I want. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to try to explain again the pshat of Sichas Aran Lamed Vav is that as much as the Baal Shem Tov was a rare commodity in the history of the world, a Pashut Yid at the end of times is also going to be a rare commodity. That's Pashut Pshat. But I think Rav Nachman's saying a lot more. I think he's saying a lot more. I think he's saying that Dafka, the whole Gilui of the Baal Shem Tov was Dafka to teach this point. That the Baal Shem Tov was teaching how the most Pashut Yid can be as big of a Chiddush as the Baal Shem Tov. That was the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov. And that's Dafka what's going to play itself out at the end of time as Pnimius HaTorah is Megala itself towards Mashiach. Okay, but let's go step by step. First, let's take a look. Take a look at the supplement. Okay, at the first page you see it says on the top, Dvarim Pshutim. This comes from a sefer, I brought it along, Mivchar Ksavim, from Avram Eliel Kaplan. Avram Eliel Kaplan was a person in the world of tells. Passed away at a relatively young age. We have a few volumes of his writings. And this was something that he shared once in the Beis Musar. The Beis Musar, they used to have these, literally, Musar meeting places, where they would work on Inyani Musar. We know that, obviously, Chassidus and Musar are not exactly the same, but there's a lot of overlap. And this was a drasha that he gave. This was his Sichus Musar. Doesn't tell us what year it was from, but this was his Sichus Musar. Now, it's very poetic. He had a very beautiful language. He wrote poetry. He wrote songs. Very, very beautiful language. Look what he writes. I'm just going to read a little bit. Yodea ani shalaharbe bnei adam yasimu lev lidvarai. As he's about to get... Now again, this is in the Beis Musar, so Mestama, anyone who made it through the door, is already somewhat open to listening. And yet he still says, I know a lot of people are not going to get what I'm saying, not going to want to hear what I'm saying. Uvechol zos adaber, I'm still going to present, I'm going to speak. Ha'echar ha-shomeya shaku k'neged elef. Asher lo yavu lishmoa. It's kedai for me to speak for the one person who's listening. It's worth it, right? Even if it means presenting in the presence of 1,000 people. And look at his lashon. Let's read it carefully. Lo yavu lishmoa. What does that mean? Lo yavu lishmoa. We don't want to listen. Because as many svarim expound upon the fact that listening is something that we either choose to do or choose not to do. It's not that they can't listen, it's that you don't want to listen. Okay? So for the one person who's going to maybe get my message, we could create a Baal Shem Tov out of this. We can create an Avraham Avinu out of this. If one person would just be mekabel my message. And the truth is, he says, in the end, the 1,000 who didn't listen are all going to come chasing to want to learn from the one who did listen. And at first, maybe it's only in the heart, but eventually it will emerge that they're going to want to learn the sugya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, now, my one listener, listen well. The one guy who's listening needs to listen very carefully. Lo adam gadol al gedolos nistaros el adam pashut al pshutos nishkachos yedaber elecha yom. I'm a pashut yid who has a pashut message. Says Rav Avraham Eliel Kaplan, listen carefully, here's my message. Okay, now what's his message? Just jump down to the paragraph that begins, Echad Haya. Actually, right before that. Omra Torah al Avraham Avinu. The Torah says about Avraham Avinu. V'yatak misham ahara, mikedem lebeisel. And he set up her tent, he set up Sarah's tent, like Rashi says. Beisel miyam, v'ay mikedem, v'yivan sham ezbeach la'ashem. This is Avram. This is the story of Avram. He's traveling around, sets up a tent for his wife, for himself, sets up shop. Omar Avram be'emtso shel olam. He's sitting in a place, a yeshuv of mayim, v'yeshuv mikedem. Har panoi matzah. He's painting a picture for us, right? Picture Avram. Actually, picture Avram by his tent, surrounded by water and some fields and mountains and desolate areas and more. Rolling fields and plains. Kanavo makom, but not the la'al. And Avram set up shop. Nu, and what's he going to do in the middle of this field? In the middle of this desert? Surrounded by nothing but wildlife? What was the plan? Avram settling in, and in that place, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, he's calling out to Hashem on his little desert island. Avram Avinu is being mekash himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Umiyad Hischil, he begins to plot out how he's going to conquer the world. He's calling out to Kadosh Baruch Hu from that place. How are you going to sit by yourself, just you and your Rebbetzin, sitting in your tent, and conquer the world? No, Lamaisa, we know he did it. So says of Avram Eliyahu Kaplan, the way that Avram Avinu conquered the whole world was with his simple connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His pashut recognition that if a Jew sits in a tent in the middle of the desert and wants to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is a Mizbeach to Hashem. I don't need a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Of course we want a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, but I don't need a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and I don't need throngs of Chasidim by Tish together in order to makasher myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't need a part of a yeshiva. I don't even have to have been makabel the Torah yet. I can just look inside myself, the way the Gemara says in Yoman and Kedushin, that Avram looked inside himself, and he figured out. He figured out, I have everything that I need inside of myself. I don't need a single thing outside of myself. I'm going to set up shop, and I'll start talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, of course, the world ended up coming to Avram's tent. They all wanted to hear. The 1,000 came running. But look what he says, two paragraphs on the bottom. V'zeu ha'ikar bepashtus elukis. Now look at these beautiful lishonos. Lo chatzvu dvarav lavos eish. Avram was not a fiery Baal Musar who was traveling around trying to conquer that way. Lo nasa nu'umim bekal am. Lo ishtada livnos migdal elokav lumas ha'migdal asher banu b'shinar l'shem l'chamabo. He didn't say, well, if they're building towers against God, I'm going to build a tower for God. He didn't put up signs. He didn't sign on communal documents, kol kores, announcing the arrival of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, announcing the arrival of Tzadik Balir, Avram's in town. Oel nata, he set up a tent. Orchim hichnis, he invited people for lunch. Dvarim pshutim diber, he spoke simple things. Ukeshahalach lakodes beno, when he was about to do the ultimate act in his life, maybe the greatest test that any human being ever faced, to solidify his emunah 150%. Lo pirsim zos ba'olam, he didn't let anyone know. He went quietly. He went to a Kiryas Yitzchak to do what Hashem wanted from him. It was a big deal. It was a big deal. It could have made the papers. It could have, Avram could have, of course Avram could have lost his reputation for it, but he also could have solidified his commitment to God in the eyes of many. And he didn't want any of that. He got up early in the morning, baboker ashkem, besode sodos, he snuck out early. Didn't even tell his own wife where he was going. He snuck off with only the people who were absolutely necessary, and as the people along the way became less necessary, he ditched them. He left them behind. He left Yishmael and Eliezer behind. You wait here with the chamor. I'll go quietly. I'm just going with Yitzchak to take care of some business. He wasn't the tzaddik hador in the eyes of the world. That was Malki Tzedek was the kohen, the El Elyon. He was an ish mikneh. He was a simple man with a simple tent, brewing coffee for some chevru who came by for a cup of coffee along the way. He was wandering about. He was no deid. He had a couple of sheep. Hayom kan umachar sham, traveling about with his little tent. Mamayit bedvarim umar bebamais. Little talk and a lot of action. Again with great pashtos. Achol maisa hitil zera v'chol zera hifra asidam. And yet every move that Avram made is significant to us, that we're still talking about it today. Every move that he made, everything that he did was planting a seed, which would what? Which would grow the fruits of all history. That would plant all, he was planting all of, everything that we are today is rooted in Echad Hayavra. When there was a Jew at a tent that he was serving coffee from in the middle of the desert. Tana de Be'elio, this is what it says in the Medrash, Chayev Adam Lomar Masai Yigiu Masai, L'masei avosar, l'masei Avram, as he quotes it here. When am I going to reach the level of Avram? L'machshavosam lo nemar kan. You don't have to think like Avram. You have to live like Avram. You have to be like Avram. El l'masei, to just do like Avram. With unbelievable simplicity, but with a Kadosh Baruch Hu every single step of the way. When Rabbi Nachman says, a time's going to come that it's going to be a chiddush, that there's going to be a Jew who's a pasha to Yid, it's going to be as big of a chiddush as the Baal Shem Tov. Right, that's not the hemshich from yesterday. We're about to face really rough times, and Rabbi Nachman says it's going to get so bad that Jews are going to be in such a low place that even to find a yid who's just a pasha to yid is going to be hard to find. That's how bad it's going to be. He's not saying that. He's saying that's how good it's going to be. That a Pashut Yid could be a Chiddush like the Baal Shem Tov. Nu, chaver, I want to learn a piece from the Pir Etzner in the Mevor HaSharim. I don't know if anyone's been through the Sefer. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the Sefer. In Perek Gimel of the Mevor HaSharim, which is one of the most important sections, where he spells out exactly what is the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov. We're talking about finding a Pashut Yid who's going to be as a Chiddush Gadol like the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov. So what's the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov? What was the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov? Obviously, the Mashpia has many shiurim online about this. He's giving a whole series now to try to explain some of the yesodos of Chassidus. The Mashpia taught all of Mevor HaSharim once upon a time. So if you want, you can go online, you can learn it with him. But just, very bekitzer, just so we have a little bit of an understanding why a Pashut Yid, who's traveling around with his sheep and serving coffee like Avram, is as big a Chiddush as the Baal Shem Tov. Now, when we say the Baal Shem Tov, a Kaddosh, we know that's a good thing. So is this Pashut Yid a good thing or not such a good thing? It's a pathetic Jew who's barely holding on? Or it's the secret of Mashiach? The answer is, it's the secret of Mashiach. So let's take a look. Perek Gimel. Again, there's a P.S.S. Rebbe's Mevor HaSharim. We're not going to read the whole thing. I gave you a couple pages. I'm just going to read a couple of lines here and there. When the Baal Shem Tov had his famous Aliyas Neshama B'Shnas Tavkuv Zayin, when the Baal Shem Tov had his most famous and well-documented, recorded, out-of-body experience, he entered the Heichalos, he entered the higher spheres. Haya Beheichal HaMashiach. He found himself in the chamber of Mashiach. And everyone knows what happened, the conversation they had. V'shalas HaMashiach Eimasai Ka'asimar. He asked Mashiach, when are you coming? Ano HaMashiach Kishiyafutsu Mayanasech HaChutzah. When you're teaching, spread outward. Kanoda, Bigar Zakodesh, Shabasefer Akadosh, Poras Yosef. As the famous letter of the Baal Shem Tov to his brother in law, Gershon Kitover, is printed in the Poras Yosef. What's the Poras Yosef? Who wrote the Poras Yosef?
Told us
Yaakov Yosef. Yeah. The Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, who was the first one to put him in print, that told us Yaakov Yosef. It's his most famous work, I guess, on Chomesh, but he wrote other Sfarim also. He wrote Ksonas Pasim, he wrote Poras Yosef. He wrote other volumes as well. Tzavtas Paneach. Right, he was into things that had to do with Yosef. So in the back of the Poras Yosef, that's where this letter was first printed. This letter from the Baal Shem Tov to his brother-in-law. Okay? Now what else does it say in that letter? The next line of the letter is either intentionally brought to your attention or intentionally left out. But I'm going to bring it to your attention, not for the reason that it's someone who might want to bring it to your attention. Did that make any sense what I just said?
Yeah.
If a person is teaching the letter of the Baal Shem Tov, you're either teaching it because you want someone to be mekashar himself to the Baal Shem Tov, or maybe you're taking a college class, right, in Kabbalah, or something like that. So you're studying the historical context of the letter of the Baal Shem Tov. So if you're teaching Chassidus, you might want to stop here. When the Baal Shem Tov is teaching spread outward, then we're good. That's like a good safe place to stop. If you're teaching a class in Kabbalah with a Q, so then you're probably going to want to go weiter, because the next part gets very Kabbalistic and strange. The Mashiach said, oh, and by the way, that means that people are going to be able to do the Yichudim that you're able to do. Right? So now I might want to talk about what that means in Kabbalah. Yeah? But if I just want you to be inspired by the Baal Shem Tov, I don't want to teach you that because you're going to be overwhelmed by that. You're going to say, I don't know how to make the Yichudim. I'm going to have in mind all of the Kabbalistic intent that the Baal Shem Tov had in serving Hashem. That's what we need for Mashiach. I like it better. I like it better. Just aim a side cost. When are you going to come? When you're teaching, spread outward. When you're teaching, spread outward. Yeah, when people have a couple of Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan's farm by their makom in Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, we'll stop there. What if they get to the Yehudim, make it all complicated? Yeah? But the answer is what Rabbi Nachman's saying here. The Yehudim that you can make, that the Yehudim, of course the Baal Shem Tov's Yehudim were La'ela U'la'ela. But the Baal Shem Tov also taught a Jew how to eat a slice of pizza and to do very lofty things, to be miyachid, kuchabrichu shchinte, when you're eating a slice of pizza. So look what he says here. Ha'chasidis achris ha'izgalus of name Mashiach asher yavim her b'yameinu. Chavir, this is mamish yesodistic stuff. You gotta have these yesodos in your back pocket. Chasidus is the final revelation, the last stop before Mashiach's arrival. Meaning what? There's an evolution in Torah. Do Jews believe in evolution? In Torah we do. What does it mean, an evolution of Torah? It means chiddush, new ideas coming to the world. Torah me'iti teitse. Torah me'iti teitse. That's what it says in Sefer Yeshaya? Yecheskel? Torah me'iti teitse. I think it's Yeshaya. Maybe it's Yecheskel. What does the Medrash say? Torah chadasha me'iti teitse. Remember we spoke about this last year? Torah chadasha me'iti teitse. That is the scariest Medrash. I think it's in Vayikra Rabba. That is the most terrifying Medrash for an Orthodox Jew. Torah chadasha me'iti teitse. That the prophets are talking. That's what some Christian missionary on the street corner who doesn't even read Hebrew, giving you an English pamphlet with verses from Isaiah and Ezekiel, right? She says, look, the New Testament. Torah me'iti teitse. A new Torah is going to emerge. Chazal make it even worse. Torah chadasha me'iti teitse. A new Torah is going to emerge. I mean, a new Torah. What's a new Torah? The answer is, there's always new Torah being formed. There's always new Torah. Torah Shema Pez is always unfolding. It's always growing. Rav Chaim Brisker came, made a revolution in how Jews learn Torah Shema Peh. Of course it was always there on some level, but he revealed it. He brought it out further. Rav Kivayger brought it out further. Different people throughout the generations, Rav Kivayger was before Rav Chaim Brisker. Different people throughout the generations brought it out further. New ways of learning. New ideas in learning. Yeah? Different tzaddikim brought out new ideas. So it keeps unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. There's many stops along the way until we get to Mashiach. The last essential revelation of Torah in order to prepare us to receive the Torah Chadasha from Mashiach Tzidkenu himself, says the Pizas Rebbe, HaChasidus Achris HaIzgalus of Mashiach Asher Yov Meher B'Yaminu. Mashiach's the last stop, which is so chaval for those people who are fighting it. It would be so chaval, it would be a person saying, no, Rav Chaim Brisker, when Rav Chaim Brisker first started to teach, you know, his approach to learning a sugya, if someone would have said, no, this isn't for us, this isn't good for the world. That's all the whole yeshiva world learns. Right? So if someone would have fought against that, if we would meet someone now who was against it, we'd say, you're crazy, what are you talking about? It's a revolution. It took over already. The same thing is true in Pnimius HaTorah. Pnimius HaTorah is trying to unfold, and there's someone who's saying, no, it's not good. So you're slowing down the process, the unfolding of Mashiach. Vereshis richas kave or kedushasohi ikar aizgalas amashichus nichlalas bepasukul malah haaretz deras Hashem kamayim liyam mechasim. And the essential pasuk that expresses this idea is malah haaretz. Now notice the word haaretz. Malah haaretz, the artzius, the gashmius, that very regular things are going to be what? Filled with deras Hashem kamayim liyam mechasim. Like the ocean expanding over everything. What does it mean, liyachid kutshabrichu shchinte? I'm sure everyone's heard of it, right? L'shem yuchud. Some people say it, some people maybe don't say it as much in this room. Right? But many people say it. L'shem yuchud kutshabrichu shchinte. What does that mean? I'm being miyachid kutshabrichu shchinte. What does that mean? What is kutshabrichu and what is shchinte? Yes, or Jojo?
Is it like, alone with
the Shem's holiness. Well, I want you to tell me what is Kutcha Bricha and what is Shchinte? Or give me at least a mashal to understand. We don't understand anything. Right? Let's not forget Torah Aleph in Sikha Saran. Even if you joined us this year, I'm not expecting you to catch up on everything from last year. But you have to know the first thing, which is what? Ki ani yadati ki gadol Hashem adonin b'kol okim. David HaMelech says, ani yadati, now I know, right? But I can't even talk about it and it's impossible to put into words. So we don't know anything. Let's not forget, we don't know. Tachlis hayedia, shelo neda. The purpose of knowing is to realize how much we don't know. So we don't know. But okay, we still have to function. So let's talk about what it means when we say, L'shem yichud kutcha brichu shchinte. What does that mean? Who's kutcha brichu and who's shchinte?
Shem
and us. Okay, so you want to say Hashem and us, right? Hashem. Hashem at his essence. No, don't use other
Upper worlds and lower worlds.
What does that mean, upper worlds and lower worlds?
Godly with the most physical.
No, don't use Kabbalistic terminology because that doesn't help any of us.
The most godly with the most
okay, so here's wow, what was that?
We're chassidim of another Yehuda, we don't talk about these
things. Ah, I hear. Another Yehuda, a famous Shua, for those who don't know, against saying L'shem Yichud. Very against it. Very good. Okay.
Why?
Because he felt that it, he says that's what a bracha is. What he has to say, a bracha before the bracha.
But he agreed to say,
to think about it.
He didn't move from the room.
Hey, I ain't Jewish, not Yehuda.
He pushed himself to Rabbeinu before he said Rachas. So
that could be. So that's what he meant. Yeah, no, so what does that mean? No, but seriously, what does that mean? What's Kutcher B'Yichu Shchente? Okay, so here's a good way to explain. This is not my own explanation. Yeah? Is your finger you?
Part of you. Extension
of you?
Expression
of you?
Yes.
Is it part of you?
Yes.
Okay. It's you. Right? But why are we uncomfortable saying your finger is you? Because if we talk more precisely, if I asked you, is your finger the essence of you?
No.
So say no, of course not. Is my finger a part of who I am? Is my finger part of me? Yeah, absolutely. My finger. He'll be here soon. Don't worry. You get to learn from the Rebbe himself. Your finger is part of you. Yeah. It's part of you. You feel comfortable saying that it's you. It is you, right? My cell phone's not me. Even if I'm holding it in my hand, my cell phone's not me. My finger is me. It's not the essence of me. What's more the essence of you? Your brain, your mind, or your finger? Which one's more connected to the essence of you?
Brain.
Your brain, of course your brain. Is your brain the essence of you?
No.
Your brain's still not the essence of you. Yeah? So, liachei kutcha b'richu shchinte, think of it like this. Here's a mashal that they give. Yeah? Take, when Hashem, the Arizal says, when Hashem wanted to create the world, Hashem, who is an Orein Sof, so let's turn it, instead of it being light, let's turn it into water, yeah? Hashem is this positive. Umal arz deyasim kamayim liyam mechasim. Hashem covers the world. Yeah? Ein mayim ala Torah. Kutcha b'richu and Torah are one. Hashem gave himself over in the form of Torah. Torah is compared to water. Okay, so we compare Hashem to water. Hashem is this water that covers everything. Yeah? Great. Hashem is an ocean. Now Hashem wants to create the world. I'm not just talking about our world. I'm talking about all the worlds, everything. Angels, worlds, everything. How did Hashem do that? What did He do? How much of His ocean did He put into creating the world? How much of the ocean went into creating the world? One drop. Hashem took one drop. In other words, Hashem took His infinite light and contracted it, and gave us a taste of it. Right? Hashem sent down, so to speak. Again, I'm just using the language in the Svar. Hashem sent down a drop of water, which makes up again not just our world, but all the worlds, all of the worlds, and all of their spheros and everything within them. Angels, people, plants, giraffe. Yeah, everything. Everything's within that. Okay. So what's liyachei kutcha b'richu shchinte? Kutcha b'richu is the ocean. Shchinte is the drop of water. Yeah? What yichud are we trying to make? We're trying to make it that contained within that drop of the ocean is the entire ocean. We want to be able to experience the entire ocean through that drop of water. You hear? Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You want to experience the entire ocean through that drop of water. One way to look at it would say, well, I just want to take the drop and throw it back into the ocean. But the other way is to come to an appreciation that a drop of the ocean has within it, in a concealed way, the entire ocean. The same way that the Sfas Emes writes in Parshas Naso, every letter of Torah contains within it Kol Torah Kula. The same way, probably my favorite piece of Torah ever, maybe, which I first saw in the Scholar Rebbe's Chakima Beremiza, I think it's Parsha Shemos, he said that his grandfather had a dream. Now this idea is found in earlier Svarim of the Baal Shem Tov, but this is what he says from the previous Scholar Rebbe, who was a big person, who was a Nister and a miracle worker Kipshuto, passed away in the 1970s. The previous Scholar Rebbe had a dream one time, and he saw the Baal Shem Tov in his dream. Saw the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh in his dream. And the Baal Shem Tov says, can I teach you what it means to be an Eved Hashem? Sure, that would be great. I would love to get a lesson in that. So Baal Shem Tov started running. Baal Shem Tov, picture this though, picture to picture. It's gavalik to picture, it's amazing to picture. The Baal Shem Tov started running, yeah? The Baal Shem Tov is running up this cliff. and he's running, he's getting high, he's like standing on the top of this mountain. And now he's overlooking this huge valley, this huge wide valley down below. And the Baal Shem Tov says to him, now I'm going to show you what it means to be a true Eved Hashem. And Baal Shem Tov jumped off the cliff. And when the Baal Shem Tov hit the ground, the Baal Shem Tov shattered. Like a glass, you know, picture like, a nice glass vase, yeah. Right? Splintering into tiny, tiny, tiny little pieces of glass. So Skaya was a little nervous. Now he'd be a little nervous also, the Baal Shem Tov broke. So he ran down the mountain. He runs down the mountain, and he sees, and this is the punchline, it's so beautiful, he sees that every little piece of glass, every little shard of the Baal Shem Tov was a koma shleim of the Baal Shem Tov, was the full Baal Shem Tov. That every piece contained within it the entirety of the Baal Shem Tov. That's exactly this. That every drop of ocean, Shchinte, us, everything, every blade of grass, every slice of pizza, should be what? Should contain within it the koma shleim of the ocean. Should have the whole ocean in it. Mala aretz deyas Hashem kemaim liyam mechasim. That the Piyaz Esther Rebbe is saying, this is the essential teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. Teaches us what? That yes, that it's possible for the entire ocean to fill what? Mala ha'aretz, that every bit of artsias, that every speck of dirt can contain within it the entire ocean. That you should be able to feel your entire essence through your finger. You hear? It's not a chiddush that I can experience my essence through my essence. But to experience my essence through my finger, to experience the full me, to be able to say that my finger is not just a part of me, an expression of me, that my finger contains within it everything I am, and every part of me contains within it everything. Exactly, the shtender last year. I davened with the shtender, exactly. So that's the tachlis. So look what he says. Let's read back inside now. So mala aretz deyas Hashem kamayim liyamachasim v'yesod toras v'al shem tov zatzal nichleles b'apshat asher gila b'katral apasuk melo chol ha'aretz kvodo. And again, I'm emphasizing it, but I think it's clear that that's the point. The chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Nachman is saying that a pashut yid could be a chiddush gadol like the Baal Shem Tov is exactly this. That melochol haaretz, this artzias dikid yid, this pashut yid, whose whole life is gashmias, can be entirely infused with elokus. He's not in the base medrash. He's not in the base medrash all day. He's an ish kosher pashut. He's a simple guy. He's an honest businessman. Yeah? He's a person who's does his business with Amunah. Yes?
Is this experience of Ichud a momentary experience or like a permanent experience?
So the go when Mashiach comes, Malar says, Hashem takes over and that's it. It's permanent. Our job exactly is to try to create this as much as we can to help us to get there.
When you do this Ichud, when you do this Baruch or this Mitzvah, right? This, I got a feeling for the moment or it stays? Like the Mitzvah that I do right now before Mashiach.
When you do the mitzvah, again, the Svarim would say when you're doing a mitzvah or you're learning Torah, you're experiencing the essence of Hashem. Right? Now the Baal Shem Tov is saying, I'm going to show you how it's possible when Mashiach comes, it's not going to be a steer anymore. You're going to be able to right now. Again, you might become, God forbid, you might say, okay, great. So if I can get the same experience of Hashem through a slice of pizza as I can through a block of marah. So I'll choose a slice of pizza. Right? The answer is that no, the pizza is more like, you know, the finger of the person as opposed to the black gemara is the essence of the person. So that's why we have to choose Torah and mitzvahs. But yeah, eventually, mal ha'aretz deyas Hashem, that the whole world, the pizza store is filled. Right now it's just a pizza store. But we're trying to miyachi kutcher b'ilu shchinte. We want to take that drop from the ocean and turn it into the ocean. Okay, not so pashut, but this was the chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov. Rabim af Rabim b'Torah, three lines on the bottom. Hirbu lirdof as a kadosh v'Yisrael b'shvil zeh. Baal Shem Tov faced a lot of opposition because of this, because it's very easy to understand how a person can pervert this and say what? Say that eating a slice of, then everything is equal. Even averos are equal in the service of God. If it's part of this world, it's all equal. God forbid. So the Baal Shem Tov faced much opposition by people who didn't fully grasp or were nervous about what could happen if this was misunderstood. But Amram, and they said, "Shechas v'shalom, megashim u'bezes kvod shomala." It's a zilzul to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You just turned the Kadosh Baruch Hu into a blade of grass, a piece of dirt, and a slice of pizza. That's a terrible zilzul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod. Aval, but really, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Aval HaAyir V'Kadosh Asher Min Shemayin Nachis Kedoshenu Baal Shem Tov Zecher Tzadik Levracha Yada Shelo Levad, top of page Reish Tzavav. The Baal Shem Tov knew very well what he was doing. She'enu Megashim Chas V'Shalom. He wasn't, God forbid, turning Hashem into something Gashmi. He wasn't taking Hashem's infinite light and just diluting it and making it Gashmi, as Chas V'Shalom. Rak'od Marbu Megales Kvodi Yisbarach B'Zeh. He was doing the greatest honor for Hashem. He was showing that Einu Mavad, though, in the most Pashut way. That everything is Hashem. Well, like we learned last week, that Hashem never really left. He never really left, even when he pretended to leave. V'lo Rak Pshat V'Seichel Omer B'Zeh. Rak as a shachar shalifnei Mashiach mimarom heir. V'im lo yitnu lahaknim as a shachar lo yisragel la'olam ba'ar as a shachar. The world is training itself, it's getting itself ready for Mashiach in this way. Otherwise it's going to be very strange for us to transition from only finding Hashem in a black Gemara to all of a sudden encountering Mashiach, where Hashem's essence is felt within everything. I don't know what that even means, because I didn't undergo the proper steps leading up to that. It's not only that Hashem's what? That Hashem's chiyus is giving energy and life to everything. Rak, here's the chiddush. This is the chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov. Gam ha-geshem v'gam ha-artius. Rak lanu ke-geshem nira. If you think it's just a slice of pizza, you're missing something. It's not just a slice of pizza. It's Hashem's infinite light. Okay, it's been retracted to look like a slice of pizza. There's a game we're playing. We're playing, like we spoke last week, divine hide and seek. So it looks like pizza. It doesn't have to be pizza. It only appears that way. Uvemes hakol elokos. Utzrichem rak inayim liros v'guf hamiskadish v'oz. Kishat hamistakel ala olam. If you have the right glasses on, atamavit ala elokim v'elokim alecha. You'll look at Hashem. Hashem will look back at you. You'll wink to one another. Malo chol aretz kavodo. You'll realize that Hashem fills all of aretz. Af ha'aretzios halavush v'akelem maleim ha'aretz kavodo yisbarachim. And this Malo Kol Ha'aretz Kvodo is the first step to what? To Mashiach. To Malo Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem. Kamayim Liyam Bechasim. And that's what we're all longing for. Okay, good. Turn the page. Go to the next page. Bottom of page Reish Tazayin. Hein Gam Hirishu Misnagdov Shel Baal Shem Tov Zatzal. Lama zeh hakadoshim asher kadmu lo lo matzinu sheyavaru kach as a pasuk malocha laretz kavodav. Why are you the first one to explain the pasuk this way? What about all the righteous people who lived before? Why didn't they have that same outlook as you? How did you come up with this chiddush? I saw in one of Rabbi Lamb's books, Rabbi Norman Lamb, in one of his books, he wrote a book on Hasidism, and in the Hakdama there, he says a very interesting thing. He says, Chassidus is not innovation, it's revelation. One of the things that scares people most about Chassidus is all these new ideas. Where do all these new things come from? And the answer is, they're not new. They're not new. They were built into it all along. Some things were present all along, they were just kept in a secret society. Some things hadn't emerged yet, but nothing new is being created. Chassidus is a further refinement, if you will, of Kabbalah. You can't make up chidushim in Kabbalah. Kabbalah is what you're makabel. Baal Shem Tov didn't create new understandings of psukim. He was megal of them. He taught them to the world when he felt the world was ready and it was necessary for the world to receive these things. Yes. Want to say something? I thought you had your hand up. Okay. So some people say, hold on. Baal Shem Tov came along a couple hundred years ago and came up with this very big chiddush. If the Ram didn't have this chiddush, so then why should I trust the Baal Shem Tov to have this chiddush? V'lama yotzei hu as a pasuk mipshuto, asher be'aru mikodem, sherak besocha kelim v'olam agashmi kvod v'chiyus Hashem nimtza. Chaver, look what he's about to say here. What's the old pshat? What's the old school pshat in melochol aretz kvodo? Not that the aretz itself is Elokus, is filled with Elokus, right? But the Aretz is filled with Elokus. You hear the difference? It's not that the Aretz is filled with Elokus, but rather it's that the Aretz is filled with Elokus. You hear the difference? What's the difference? The guys who come to Chofetz Chaim Shir will be very clear in 2 seconds what the difference is. I want to give you the mashal, but let's just read another half a line. It'll be very clear. Yeah? All the tzaddikim, yes, they're all very holy. But the Baal Shem Tov came to show us a deeper pshat in the same pasuk. How did they used to learn it? That Hashem's light fills the earth. How did the Baal Shem Tov learn it? That Hashem's light fills the earth. What's the difference? So look on page Reish Yud Zayin. Look on page Reish Yud Zayin. Yeah? The top paragraph. Look 4 lines from the end. Kishagila Baal Shem Tov Zalat Sa'or Gam Shalakelem Shagam Heim Or V'lo Mastirim Rak Me'irim Gam Adas V'asaga Asher B'Pshat HaKosim Lochal Arz Kvodo Gila Shagam HaKelem Afageshem Or Kedusha Sashem He. Again, I'll give you a very clear mashal. If I have a cup that's filled with water, so what fills the cup? So say water, right? The cup is the shell, and the cup is filled with water. Water is inside the cup. So I told you what's inside of the cup, but I didn't tell you actually what fills the cup. The cup itself. What's the cup made up of? Cup's made up of cup, right? It's filled with cup. Yeah? The cup is filled with water, but the cup is filled with cup. Yeah? That's the difference. When I eat a slice of pizza, is the pizza just a cup, and what I really want to get to is what? That the pizza will somehow allow me to get back to the base measures with new energy to learn Torah. So in that sense, the pizza is filled with Torah. Or no, is the pizza mamash, the pizza itself mamash filled with Torah? You hear the difference? Yeah, you hear it? Is it just the cup holding the water, and the cup is really not, you know, the best I can get to is the water, or can I experience the cup? Let's read it. He says it so clearly, and he says it very, very clearly. Hinei b'achsharas ha'avreichim sha'alnu. In the second paragraph on Reish Yud Zayin, in the Sefer Achsharas Avreichim, which is the first part of this Sefer, he said, we asked the question, Mazos Chasidus Vavodas Chasidus. What is Chasidus? Ki I Efshar Listapik B'Tshuvas Osam Anashim Ha'omim She'es Slavus B'Torah Tefila Vavoda Hi HaChasidus. It's not enough just to say that if you're happy and you're filled with energy, so then you're a Chasid. That's a pretty lousy definition of what Chasidus is. V'nei She'agam She'be'emes Hi Ikar. Yes, it's true. A Chasid does have a lot of fire inside of him. There's a lot of Islavus. Mikol makom halo gam mekubal mashem milifnim hari talmida v'talmidi talmideim zatzal betach Islav v'vadasim belavi kodesh l'mal l'harbim asagaseinu. The Arizal is a pretty fiery yid, and he didn't have Chasidus; he had Kabbalah. So obviously, Chasidus is different than Kabbalah. They're connected, of course, they're connected. But what's the chiddush? What's the difference? So look what he writes in the bottom paragraph. Lefi seder ishtal shulis hanal. Like the water in the cup. Torah Shabbal Peh, from the time Torah Shabbal Peh started to unfold, every step of the way, it was a giloy of what? Of light within a clay. Water within a cup. Uvi'ish ba'asaga. In ba'asaga asher nires gam ke'enoshias b'talmud. Through the study of what? Through the study of the Gemara. V'im ba'asaga v'seichel asher gam ma'ish rova oso liyoser elyon. The Kabbalah. Then there were some people who took it to the next level, went even deeper. L'chein yisod is galuyos elu hu alimud v'asaga b'secha. So the foundation of Torah as it began to unfold was what? Is experiencing Torah with what? With deep intelligence, deep understanding. Like I told you, your finger is you, but it's not so much you. Your brain is a lot more you. But what's the essence of you? What's the essence of you? Your brain's closer to the essence of you. But it's still not it. So they started to learn the Gemara, and they sharpened their minds. And that was Jews getting closer to the essence of what it means to be a Yid. And Kabbalah, understanding Hashem, having an intellectual understanding of Hashem, to talk about Hashem the way that Kabbalah does, is even refining the mind that much more. I'm not talking in cows. I'm not talking Shor Shanagach HaSapara. I'm talking in Sviros and Olamos. It's getting closer to the essence. But then you come to the final Giloy, which is Chassidus, which is the biggest Chiddush of all. The biggest Giloy. And what happens? It seems, what happens all of a sudden? Now we're back in the pizza shop. I was going Madrega after Madrega. I was going up and up and up in Hasagos and Torah. And now you just threw it out into the world. Lachain yisod his galius elohu alimun vasaka basecho. Lo kein hi achasidus. Ham shachasa inam bugbelis basecho levad rak bakol. At some point, the brain bursts. The whole thing explodes. Spilling over all of that, whatever, hasaga, all of that, all of the madregos that have been attained, all of a sudden the thing explodes and it spills out over everything. It fills everything. It's no longer contained. Yeah? It's water holding water. It's not a cup holding water. It's water holding water. It's the drop of water having an encounter with the ocean. It's water within water. That's what the drop is within the ocean. V'im gamas akelim himeira. V'mikir yasoda hu legalos gamma or asher b'nemichius. To be able to experience Hashem in lowly things, in simple things. Again, it's so funny how the process works. You're going up and up and up in levels and levels of a saga, of a saga, of a saga. And then all of a sudden, again, when we get to the punchline, all of a sudden we're holding by the pizza store. But that's why Torah operates in a circle. When you get to the last pasuk of the Torah, you go back to the beginning of the Torah. There's a connection between the lowest and the highest. That's what's happening here. You're getting to the highest, and all of a sudden, you seem to be in the most plain things. But that's it. That's what the Mashpia was describing, going from Parshas Yisro all the way to Parshas Mishpatim. The greats, the heights of Har Sinai, all of a sudden to mundane things. But that's the process. That's the unfolding of things. Yeah? Did I give you the next page? Did I give you one more page?
Yeah.
So let's just read the bottom line. V'im ikri yisod dehu legalus gamahor asher bin nimichius imkein lama, turn the page, zayigra kola guf min seichel adam. If the goal is to fill, so it's the greatest kavod to Hashem. You hear? It's also, we understand why it's easy for a person to say this is a big zilzal to Hashem. He turned Hashem into the pizza store. Better Hashem was better off in the base medrash. But if you really understand it, you understand it's the biggest kavod for Hashem. That there's no place that Hashem is not fully present. That's the greatest honor, that the king ruled everywhere and everything. That's the biggest honor for Hashem. Hey, right? Why should the seichel be separate from the guf? Hey, namochu aguf mena seichel asherbo. Avahalo ze ikar achasidus. Legalos haor asher b'nimuchius. Shegam hu kadosh. The dafka, the cup is also. The cup is filled with cup. Lachein gam aguf gam idosav shal adam polim b'mo. That your body, your physical body, is filled with elukos. It's not get away from your body to get to the base medrash. To work on your mind, because that part of you is more you. And my hands and my legs and the rest of me gets me into trouble. My goof gets me into trouble. So he goes on in this page and he says, and this was the progression. He says in the next paragraph, Seder Avodah Tkufas HaChasidus, prior to Chasidus, the Avodah was Lachnias HaGuf, to fight the goof, to get the goof out of the way. And that was the Avodah. And Jews who, the Mekubalim, who were ascetics and fasted and did all sorts of things, that was the Avodah. Baal Shem Tov says, that's not our Avodah. Why? The Arizal says, you do Averis, you have to fast and fast and fast and fast and fast. Comes on the Baal Tanya, he says, no, don't fast. It's not the Iker Bayit. Why? Because something changed. Chassidus taught us that there's a different way. There's a different mahalach. Okay, just go to the left side of the page, Reishit Tes, the big middle paragraph, the last three lines of the big middle paragraph. Two more minutes, then we're going to stop. Abishosh ha'ish ha'Yisraeli osik b'tzarchav ha'gashmiya. Mischar u'malacha. That the Pashtun Jew who's involved in selling shoes, yeah? We're selling bagels. Im al derech haTorah ososam avoda hi lefi darchei achasidus. That is real avoda. That's not a hechatimsa to avoda. It's not I go to work, and if I have the right kavana, I fill my mind at that moment with the hope that I'll get back to the base medrash. But right now I'm just a shell. I'm just a cup holding the water. Right? But I'm not experiencing the water. I'm just holding it, waiting to get back to the base medrash. Chasidus says no. Throw the drop back into the ocean. Let the experience of Mischar and Malacha sitting at your desk be as meaningful and as filled with elokos as sitting in the base medrash. I'd rather be in the base medrash. Of course I would. It's much easier to have contact with the essence of Hashem in the base medrash. But Chassidus was teaching us, reality is teaching us, you're not always going to be in the base medrash. Chassidus says, don't panic. Don't panic. You could be a Pasha Yid, you could be as big a Chiddush as a Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. I want to just end with the final page. And just one quick maisa. And the final page is from the Sefer called Derech HaChassidus. I picked it up from the guy who sells Sfaram once in a while outside. I never saw the Sefer before. It's written by Moshe Shlomo Kasher, son of Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher, who wrote the Torah Shlema, that encyclopedic work of Midrashim. And he writes on page 17, I've been learning it a little bit recently, he writes on page 17, very beautiful thing. He says, in the middle of page 17, Kosher lehem la'anche ma'ala, la'giyah l'shiflus ruach amitis. Sometimes a person, until the brain bursts, yeah, until you go from what? From the world of Gemara and Kabbalah, the mind, deepening the essential mind, until it explodes and the mind liyam mechasim, or a person tries to create that for himself in a small version with his attachment to the Torah of Chassidus, yeah? So when a person's all mind, and you're such a smarty pants about Hashem, so it's hard to be humble. It's hard to be mavatal yourself when you think you know so much. Ki yitzra ma'ra, ma'alem tamad ma'chshavasam, esam ma'ilos ha'miyuchados, osam, ha'miyachados, osam, mishar b'yos. People say, yeah, well, I know the sugi of kamali b'dramini better than you. So that means I'm better than you. And I'm more connected to Hashem than you. And we play that game. So it's hard for a person who is a Baal Madrega, an authentic Baal Madrega. Now he's not a phony, he really knows a lot. It's hard for him to be mevatel himself. But a person who's really smart and knows he's great, how did Moshe Rabbeinu become so humble if he's so great? You know how? He worked on himself and he compared himself to Hashem and he felt small all of a sudden. When you think about Hashem, as great as they are, they all of a sudden feel batel. When I think about the gedulas of Rav Musa of Hashem, I feel very small. He says that's what we say in the Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. Ashrei ish shelo yishkachecha. When I become an ish, I'm an ish. I'm an ish. I'm a gavra. I'm a chashav a mensch. Yeah, but I don't forget Hashem. That keeps me humble. That's for a person who's a baal madrega. What about a person who's a Pashat Yid? What about a person who's a Pashat Yid? Aval anashim pshutim heim me'etzem muhusam shveilim binyani atzmam. The person who's eating pizza doesn't think he's such a gevaldik mensch. I'm just eating pizza with some chevra. I'm not doing it. The guy who's cracking his head on a Rav Chaim Brisker. We know what that feels like when we can actually chop it. Right? It's the best feeling. And you walk out, you feel like you're a little bit off the ground. You feel like a gavra rabba. Guy who's eating pizza doesn't think he's anything so special. But that's his milo. That means he comes to another quicker. He's more pashut. What did Rabbi Nachman write in Kuf Aleph? That pshitas is the highest level because Hashem is so pashut. The guy in the pizza store doesn't think he thinks he's a nothing. He doesn't think anything of himself, of his avoda. That's very high. That's very lofty. He's bottled to Hashem and allows the ocean to pour out. The guy who still has everything trapped in his mind, he's still within Gvulim. Right? He's still within the Meitzarim. He hasn't spilled out over the whole world yet. The guy is out and about. He's out and about. He's the whole world. Elashatrichim eat. So what does he need? What's the chizik that he needs? He needs to be told by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, when everyone else tells you you're a loser and you're a bad Jew, and you're not part of the elite 5% who are good Jews, guess what? I'm gonna say to the other chavra, guess what? The Ruba, the Pasha to get it, those are the real Jews. You're the ones who are going to have to work to get to their Madrega. Through Ashrei Adam Ashrei Ish Shalosh Kachecha. So they need Chizuk. So what's the next half of that line by the Tefila? What do we say in Musaf Rosh Hashanah? He has it on the page here. Ashrei Ish Shalosh Kachecha. Uven Adam Yitzah Mizbach. The guy who thinks he's such a Chacham, he needs to be reminded, compared to Hashem, you're a nobody. The guy who thinks he's a nobody needs to be reminded, you're good, you're doing great. You can experience a Kadosh Baruch Hu with a slice of pizza. That's not just to make you feel good, but that's Metzius. That's the highest level. That's the pashas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Kach shamati b'shem HaRebi Milublin Zatzal. Shepam achas haya HaRebi Zatzal mitzafim ha'od shagu'ula shlema tiyeh b'os hashana. One time, the Chos of Lublin wanted Mashiach very badly to come. V'lo olsan, it didn't work out. He thought he had it. The Amar, he said to the Yira Kadosh, where it's underlined, Sha'anoshim apshutim kvar azu tshuva gemura. The Pasha the Yidden in the pizza stores are totally ready for Mashiach. You know who's holding back Mashiach? You know who's holding back Mashiach? The smart guys in the base medrash are holding back Mashiach. The Pasha the Yidden, they're doing Tshuva Gemurah. They say, Hashem, Ein lanu amili sha'ein el avinu shva shemayim. They're living by that mission at the end of Sota. It's all you, Hashem. Hashem says, Gavali, you figured it out. Now they came to it in a funny way. But the guy who's a Gavra, he's having a hard time being Mevatel himself. Because he likes being his own thing. He likes feeling like a somebody. Yeah? So he's having a hard time coming to the Bittul of Mashiach. So mitzidam mitzada anashim pshutim haisi yecholio segula. Ach ikker haya me'anche mailos. Ki kashalem levoli de shivos. They're having a hard time getting pashut. And therefore they're not aligned with Taurus Baal Shem Tov. They're not aligned with Taurus Mashiach. Because of their mailos. Ve'yev shalem levoli de tshuva gemura. And therefore they can't come to Tshuva Gemurah. I want to end with a story. Neil Badner showed me a sefer that he picked up in Eretz Yisrael. You saw this sefer? Binyamin Shvili. He's a writer in Eretz Yisrael. I don't believe that he's yet a religious person. The sefer is called B'yom Shenolad HaBaal Shem Tov Nisraf HaGehenim. The day the Baal Shem Tov was born, Gehenim was burnt up. What does that mean for Gehenim to be burnt up? Okay, it's the name of one of the stories, Ayin Sham. On page 151, he tells the following story. He told the story that one time, Shmuel Abba of Slavita found himself by the Rebbe of Sadigura. Now, Sadigura is one of the branches of Rishon, right? The Heilige Rishoner, Rabbi Yisrael Rishoner, had six sons, each became their own branch of Chassidus. So, this Yid, he found himself by the Rebbe of Sadigura, who also had a very Rebbe on Haga, like the Rishoner, who lived in a palace. And he serves him a cup of coffee in this beautiful, beautiful golden cup. You know, fancy coffee, fancy cup. Spitz al spitz, as they say, yeah? Unbelievable. So this Shmuel Abba of Slavita says to him, he says, you know, the coffee is delicious, and this cup, this is unbelievable. He says, but it's not the best coffee I ever had. He said, I want to tell you about a time I drank coffee, and I'll never forget it. The most unbelievable experience, drinking a cup of coffee. He said, when I was a young man, it was around the time I was getting married. So I went with my father, my future father-in-law, to the Rebbe of Zusha. He wanted us to be by the Rebbe of Zusha. So he took me to the Rebbe of Zusha to get a bracha. He says, I tried to understand the Lashon, he said, for Shimush Chachamim, went to Reb Zusha. Now everyone knows Reb Zusha lived rather simply, compared to the Rishoner, certainly. Yeah? So they come to Reb Zusha, he walks into Reb Zusha, and Reb Zusha says to the Rebbetzin, he says, we have Chashev Ges, put up some coffee. Okay, so the Rebbetzin goes, and she puts up a little kettle of coffee. Reb Zusha comes out, he brings out the kettle of coffee, and they're like looking around, waiting for the, you know, what are we going to actually drink the coffee from, right? There's no cups. Reb Zusha didn't have any cups. So what does he have? He's got this little kettle of coffee, and he happens to have like one little plate. Yeah? So Reb Zusha says, we have three distinguished guests, so I'd like to serve each of you. So this Reb Shmuel Abba Slavita says, so he gave my father-in-law the plate, poured the coffee onto the plate, like a little saucer, you know? He poured him some coffee on the plate. He poured my father, he took the lid off the kettle and poured my father coffee and served it with the cover of the coffee pot. And he gave me the coffee pot to drink right out of the coffee pot. So he says to the Rebbe of Sadigura, he says, your coffee is delicious, everything is great. And this golden cup, the fancy coffee. He says that experience, drinking coffee with Reb Zusha, on that day, something that I'll never forget. What's the pshat in the story? You can say a lot of pshat in the story. I think part of the pshat in the story is, and until a person comes to a certain pshitas, a certain simplicity, you can't have everything. That's exactly what the Chosa said. I want to bring Mashiach, but the big people who want to drink out of the fancy cups, right? The people who don't realize that the cup itself can, that the tea kettle itself can be the cup, then I can't bring Mashiach. There's no bittul. There's no bittul to Hashem. Happens to be the day that Neil Bodner showed me this story. Something happened before, something happened after. And I'll really end with this. We were standing in Morgue, and they have that coffee machine in Morgue. It was before he showed me the story. He was on his way, we were on the way to my office, he was going to show me this safer that he got. So he said, oh, here, take my calf card, go get yourself a hot drink. I said, that's so nice of you. So I go over to the machine, there's all these choices. I didn't know what to choose. So he said, the hot chocolate, you know, with milk. There's like different options, hot chocolate with this, hot chocolate with that. This one's very good. I said, okay, great.
And Neil told you the hot chocolate?
Yeah, that's what Neil recommended. Okay. So we swipe, $1.25. Yeah? So I said to Neil, I pushed the button, I said, Neil, aren't you supposed to like put a cup there? He's like, no, the machine has cups. It drops down a cup. You know, I felt like such an amateur, you know? No, the machine drops down a cup and then it fills it up. I said, okay, great. So now, you know, it's doing like the brewing thing, like, you know, going. All of a sudden, the thing starts pouring out the hot chocolate straight down the drain.
No cup.
The hot chocolate's pouring out. Yeah? And then all of a sudden I see the milk coming down. I'm trying like debating, should I stick my head into the machine, you know? Stop Orion a little bit. It's hot. Remember, Chassam Sofer used to drink. Remember? Anyone remember that? Chassam Sofer, remember? And was anyone in the shira back then when we had that shira on Karban Pesach? Tasting the Karban Pesach and the matzah? The Chassam Sofer's matzah was hot? Remember that? Was that last year or 2 years ago? I don't remember.
Sunday shira.
Yeah, maybe it was last year. The Chassam Sofer used to drink. The Chassam Sofer, he could pour literally steaming hot. He didn't wait for his tea or coffee to cool down. He would drink it straight down. That was his thing. So, Cheshbon did. I didn't think I was holding quite there yet. So I didn't stick my head into the machine. Okay. No. But it was I didn't even get to drink the coffee. And it was a very memorable experience. We got a good laugh at it. Later that night, I don't know why I hung out with Neil so much that day. We went to dinner in the cafe. So I bought dinner, and he's like, you know what, let's get a drink. So he's like, you want to split a Coke? I said, great. So he goes and he gets a bottle of Coke. So I go over to get us two cups. They're out of cups. Now this is after he had told me the story with the Rebbe Reb Zusha. Yeah? So I figured I gotta improvise.
Use the cap maybe
or the bottle. So I went over to the ketchup. And I took two little ketchup cups. I sat there, we were pouring ourselves Coke. We were drinking it like weirdos out of little ketchup cups. But you know what? It's probably the most memorable Coke I ever drank in my life. Because there's something very passionate about it. And that's the assault. And I think, again, let's just end. Just lamed vav. Od yezman shemisha ish kosher pashur. A pashur a yid can be as big of a chiddush as the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh made that reality. And a Jew is willing to be pashur and be makabel. Elokus, within everything that he does, can live the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov. And that will be Zochet to the Gula of Meir B'Yemenon. Shkoyach.